rubble, and it looks more like a landfill. Is that why the desert outside is starting to stink?
It is a landfill. I have built a permanent tip to store the city's rubbish around the circumference of Baghdad.
You've got a landfill the size of a city, but your room's still a tip. If the landfill is just outside the palace, all you have to do to enter your bin is tip it out the back window.
Yes, but it was a mile to that side of the palace. I usually cycle down the corridors, except now there aren't any thanks to yesterday's meteorite.
Why did natural disasters only happen around you?
It wasn't natural. It was an obliterated part of the moon that the ISA blew up.
But why did the asteroid choose the only half of the palace that contained all my ornaments?
Well, you chose to store them in the West Hall, which had a clear view to the sky.
Your bedroom last night didn't exactly go unscathed either, did it?
No, most of the contents were forced through the ceiling into one of the many living rooms. All that's left of the widescreen is a bent bedpost through the tube. The palace itself is now unfit for human habitation, and the reason why we are wearing masks right now is that this entire palace was made of asbestos. After the job of this palace, there are only half the demolition workers left in the city.
Where are we going to live? I've lived here for over 60 years. It's got sentimental value, son.
But don't forget that I am a dictator, and like the former Queen of England, I have afforded myself with the power to instantly take over any piece of land in this empire at will. The time has come to exercise that power. One option, for instance, would be to force the occupants of a housing estate in Baghdad onto the Iraqi cobbled streets while I knock all their houses into one.
But why Baghdad? There are more glamorous places in this world, and there are cities left that actually still have a city centre.
I have turned Baghdad into a world capital during these short years of the Iraqi regime. However, there are almost no historical features of the city that aren't history themselves. Berlin was in better condition after the Blitz, but short of a couple of planes that were on the wrong route, Washington has remained virtually unscathed.
So we're not staying in Baghdad then? Who run the city?
Well, it won't be Mr. Dodd, that's for sure, following his near treason the last time he was given such an important role. I have enlisted the chief of the secret police. The officers will have to alternate between politics and secret abductions. Balkan will also be chief of the regular police here in Baghdad.
But it can't be the White House, because that's unrecognisable.
Ah, yes, it takes me back. I vaguely remember a fellow called Rocky who was too young and naive to realise what powerful forces he was getting himself into. He eventually met his destiny after, amongst other things, causing the White House to become the Black House. But a team of architects have been working around the clock on the restoration of the White House and have built a brand new presidential palace in its stead. It is moulded in the Arabian style and should be ready to be the new centre of world leadership within the week. We're not the front door, Dodd. There isn't one. We put a window through round the back to enter and exit the building.
Yes, I've tried that, but there was quicksand in the garden. I nearly didn't make it.
After entering the makeshift back door, which is really just a bit of a wall knocked out.
What is it? This is no time to be calling a meeting with my moving plans.
Well, I was wondering whether you would need my leadership skills again during your absence while you're in the USI.
No, Brian. If I feel the sudden urge for a national health service that brings a life expectancy over 35, or the need to support citizens choosing to loaf around in their houses where you couldn't swing an atlas around in all day, I'll let you know. But I'm more likely to scrap the death penalty for stealing from the Baghdad marketplace and let you take that podium again, Dodd.
Well, who's going to be in charge in that case?
Well, your criminals, Mr. Dodd, would be so bored by your laws and constitution that they wouldn't have the energy to break them. Falcon and the secret police will be in charge of the Baghdad City District, and I've left behind instructions to put you under heavy monitoring.
Well, good luck with your move, but I'll expect I'll be staying in most nights.
Oh, and before you go, could you take that bit of asbestos with you? It's causing dust on my shelves.
May I have a protective mask?
Well, if you can find one. I forgot where I put them.
Oh, well, I'll just do without.
Now leave the spectacles of my sight, so I can concentrate on my moving plans.
Were you planning on getting a delivery truck to take your boxes down to the airport?
No, for the amount of worldly possessions that I accumulated in this palace, it would take the same amount of lorries as an average Asda delivery. However, that would be down to half a store now, thanks to the asteroid. The asteroid has destroyed more priceless heirlooms than would feature on 30 years of the Antiques Roadshow. So instead, I plan to buy a new copy of everything I own in the new palace. Every piece of surviving artifact here in Baghdad, I will build a bonfire for in the palace grounds. I might get on to pass some charred remains to some impoverished comrades. I'm not bothered with moving trucks from my meagre possessions. I'm posting each one to Washington. And yesterday I filled up an almost empty letterbox, and then the Iraqi postman caught me trying to jam a package cup and saucer into the bursting box.
On the moving day.
Wake up! Saddam! This is our last day to get out of the palace before it totally collapses. Well, okay, I'll just get back for breakfast after I've been to the garage to get some petrol for the bonfire. What are you having a bonfire for? Don't take too long or I'll pack your breakfast!
2 hours later...
Sorry, Mother, about the delay, but I had to go to a garage in Kuwait. Iraq's oil reserves have seemed to become fully depleted. The only cars that you will be able to see soon on the roads will be driving on plutonium tanks. That might mean a few less cities in the world. But while there's any oil left elsewhere in this desecrated planet, I know what the comrades in the USI will be drilling for.
Get that breakfast off the bin, Saddam! The moving taxi's here!
So many memories here in this palace. I can remember all the nights I slept in all those rooms. The hundreds of alarm clocks, many of which are lining the 120 bin bags I've stuffed round the back of the palace, as I won't be needing any more than one grand bedroom in my new white palace.
Is that why I've been hearing distant ringing in my dreams? I was dreaming of hot pots without Rover's return, but I kept waking up and going back to sleep. What were you doing with that pillar in the hallway? Don't you think this place has collapsed enough? And what will be left with it? We'll just be a pile of rubble and a big cloud of asbestos.
Don't worry. Just taking a little memento.
The rumbling has started already. Look what you've done. We'll have to get to the back door.
Well, I didn't think that actually supported anything.
The palace is beginning to come down around our ears.
Well, don't worry. There'll only be the builders in here in a minute. We'll have taken off at Baghdad Security Airport by the time this place races itself to the ground.
Saddam and Mother run out the back of the palace and meet members of the Ba'ath Party in the private town square. Once there, Saddam steps onto the podium and issues a summons to the comrades to flock to the square.
Good afternoon, comrades, and thank you for coming. As you probably already don't know, this will be my last speech I give in this city. And in fact, in Iraq, I almost wish that I had just upped and left the Middle East without so much as an adios and left you to fester in the remains of this desecrated city. I knew the citizens of Baghdad would be left in the thick of it, if you could still call Baghdad a city. Because today it looks more like a cross between a Sarajevo and Dresden from 1945. In the central district there are more plain pieces than buildings. So I've taken the decision after the partial collapse of the presidential palace in the unfortunate asteroid collision of last week that it will be my last...
Taken out to the library.
How dare you speak out at an enforced gathering such as this? Damn, I thought I suppressed that piece of news. That news chief of Propaganda 24 will soon be visited at night by a gang of footed heavies. But he'll know it's the Ba'ath Party. Now, as you know, the regime and I are moving headquarters to Washington, formerly D.C. It will be the head of the secret police that will be running the operations here in Baghdad. But as a grave warning to you all, my presence will still be here, albeit in a virtual manifestation. In addition to being reminded of your most holy world leader by a series of statues located in almost every street corner throughout the city, My eyes will contain secret cameras which will relay images of you and the city to a bank of monitors in the former White House, soon to be the new Holy Presidential Palace.
So sorry to interrupt the final speech in your homeland of Iraq, sir, but there's a problem with your leaving plans at the airport.
Why can't you ever just take care of your jobs, Vulcan? Keep that cheering down! Vulcan Raven is trying to speak! If I hear anyone else's voice box open again in this crowd, I will be taking names and addresses. Or in the case of the majority of you, your name in Shantytown.
All of the planes in Baghdad Security Airport are grounded, Saddam. All 30 of the 30-year-old planes have broken down.
But does nobody know how to fix planes in this empire?
Yes, but their expertise is banned, as the planes must be 30 years old or more. You will have to take a camel into Turkirak and catch a plane at Ankara International Airport.
Could we not use a helicopter?
But last night you instructed me to introduce a no-fly zone in Iraq. There is now a missile base outside the city limits, which is set to fire on anything that moves in any part of the Iraqi sky. Even birds are rendered flightless by the missiles and lasers.
Well, I was wondering why there was no birds this morning. Could you not temporarily deactivate it?
There would never be an Iraqi spring again, because it is wired in like your 100 kettles in the palace. Only thousands of pairs of scissors and hundreds of dead attempters could deactivate it, short of blowing.
You imbecile! Do you have to listen to every damn word I say? Now my presidential luggage will have to swelter in the sun across the entire Middle East, to the next nearest international airport in this goddamn empire. You're lucky I don't bring you along as a personal slave instead of leaving you in control of the military operations here. In addition to Vulcan, Hamid Zamel, the head of the secret police, will be responsible for the law and order while I am not in direct charge. Before I leave, the national anthem will play one last time, and you must stand in unison and form perfect lines. And for any comrades beyond the town square, I am also broadcasting it on FM.
I feel that in the public spotlight, I must introduce myself to you in the Iraqi public. As you know, I am the head of the secret police. My name is Hamid Zamel. I am an Iraqi citizen. Do not be fooled by my British accent, as I emigrated there. I was working as a spy for the then Iraq. Many of you may already know me. As some of you will already have seen me or my officers at 2 a.m. on your doorstep before being hoisted off. I once had a role in the British MI6 before I was captured in a remarkably similar way to the Empire's chief technical advisor, Mr. Dodd, i.e. being forced at gunpoint to abdicate my duties and work for the forces of the Iraqi Empire.
That's enough! Enough spilling of official secrets! I thought you worked for an intelligence agency, but this may be the last time that any of you are forced to see me on anything other than a TV screen that you will still be required to have on in the background with a minimum volume as I depart for the United States of Iraq, the USI. But for now, adios, you morons!
With a flash and a bang, Saddam and cohorts disappear in a cloud of smoke in a magical act orchestrated by Mr. Dodd. But he reappears at the other end of the town square, destroying the illusion. During the next 2 weeks, the leaving party labours across Middle Eastern deserts on the back of several camels that deposit sackfuls and sackfuls of dung. Tired and broken, the party reaches the international airport in Ankara and departs for Washington, D.C., which is also soon to become a no-fly zone.
I am sitting now in my new presidential palace in shiny Washington, D.C., which will be introduced in the next episode. Viewers, just in case you haven't noticed, there has been no swearing at all in this episode, until now. So fuck off!
No shit.